Scotty, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Excellent. So who's going to be Panarin this year?
It's hard to say. You know, the problem is they lost Sharp and Saad last year. So as much as Panarin filled one pair of skates, the other one wasn't so much. And this summer was another, you know, they take a bigger hit again with the cap, and you lose Teravainen and Shaw because of budget reasons, and have to trade Bickle and get rid of his salary, and really haven't added anyone offensively. You know, improved the defense, I thought, with Brian Campbell and Michael Kempney, who's a guy with the Czech Republic and played well again today for them. And but offensively, they're going to be turning to a lot of rookies. You know, Nick Schmaltz, the kid who left North Dakota after his sophomore year. Tyler Mott, the kid who left Michigan after his junior year. Both really good college players. Vinny Hinostroza led the Blackhawks AHL team in scoring last year. So, you know, they're looking to 22-, 23-year-old young kids. They're hoping to take that next step because really didn't do a whole lot on paper just because they were, again, limited. You know, Brent Seabrook's contract goes into effect now, and Marcus Kruger just got paid, and obviously the cap didn't go a whole lot up. So Blackhawks couldn't do much, and got lucky that Campbell, you know, was willing to come on for $1.5 million. So they were able to improve defensively with a limited budget, but had to make some cuts offensively, and they cost Michaud and Teravainen, two guys that have, you know, kind of been at least contributors to the recent success.
You know, Scott, the Blackhawks have lost players before, and every time they do, it's like, well, geez, will they fall off a little bit this year? They tend to prove the doubters wrong, but they really are getting a little bit thin and a little bit old in a couple of cases up front. If Patrick Kane doesn't have an MVP-type year and Panarin can't repeat, there's not a lot of offense up there.
No, and you know, Marian Hossa's offense has decreased in the last few years, and he's only getting older, and you know, there's talk about moving him down lines. You know, when you looked at the roster a couple of years ago, it made sense where, you know, they had some young kids that looked like they were going to fill some shoes when they did get old, and that was Brandon Saad, you know, Andrew Shaw, Table Teravainen. Mm-hmm. And all those guys are gone now because of, you know, the Blackhawks, just the cap management and also the cap not going up. But they've paid their veteran players, and it's cost them some of those younger guys. And they have some young, promising players, but to ask rookies to come in and you know, provide 15, 20 goals, it's probably unrealistic. And, you know, and Taves had a rough season last year. They're hoping he has a bounce-back year. But it's hard to say who he's going to play with, especially if Hossa is going to be moving. You know, Richard Panik's a guy that he had some promise during the playoffs, but he's also a guy who was a healthy scratch last year. And when he's with Toronto, he was in the AHL. So they're banking on a lot of guys taking the next step and some of the rookies being promising. I think Crawford played really well last year, and I think defensively they've improved. So you're banking on the Blackhawks being good defensively, but it's hard to say where those goals are going to come from. And even if Kane and Panarin do repeat, the problem last year was they became sort of a one-line team and just didn't get the depth scoring where they've had in years past.
Scott Powers joins us, and, you know, depth is what helps you later on in the playoffs for sure. Now, depth on the blue line, you've got Seabrook, Keith, and Hjalmarsson. You mentioned that they bring back Brian Campbell. Gustafsson, Van Riemsdyk, Roosevelt, or other guys under contract right now. What's your expectations of Van Riemsdyk and Gustafsson specifically this year?
Well, I think Gustafsson actually is going to start in the American League. I think Kempney, a guy that they who plays for the Czech Republic, he was one of the top KHL defensemen last year, guy that they recruited and a number of NHL teams wanted, and he saw an opportunity with the Blackhawks. So I think the pairings are going to be Keith and Hjalmarsson, Seabrook and Campbell, and then the third pairing will be Ben Riemsdyk and Kempney, and then Rose will be the seventh guy who just sits likely. But, yeah, I think for Van Riemsdyk, he was thrown into a top four defenseman role last year and was probably just a little bit over his head. You know, that they tried to have him replace Johnny Oduya. Well, initially they tried to have Trevor Daley do that, and that didn't work out, and he obviously got traded. And then Van Riemsdyk was moved up, and, you know, this is his first full NHL season, and the numbers kind of reflect that, where he had struggles and, you know, with that defensive responsibility. So now they can shelter him a little bit more. You move him to the third pairing. Kempney, who's a guy that he led the Czech Republic. He's led the Czech Republic in ice time all the last three games, played well against North America today, too. He's 26, so he's not, you know, necessarily young, but he new to the NHL, but he's an experienced guy. So I think they're expecting a little bit more offense from that third pairing you've kind of shored up a little bit some of your issues with the, you know, I think that second pairing where even Seabrook struggled last year, and you bring in Campbell, who obviously his possession numbers are still pretty good. He's a little bit older, but even with the Blackhawks, I mean, his role probably won't be as large as the Panthers, and you can decrease his ice time a little bit. And I think overall, you know, from 1 to 6, the Blackhawks are pretty solid in that area.
Scott, you know, from the outside, and it's easy to say from here, when you got the big contracts with Kane and Taves, they've won Stanley Cups with these players, so there's no diminishing what they've meant. But if the Blackhawks can't play where they need to play in terms of success, and that depth becomes a real glaring problem because so much money is going to 2 or 3 players, is there any way at all, assuming they could even move a contract that big, that one of the big two could end up moved, or is that just not going to happen?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, because regardless, you know, if you have Kane and Taves, you're going to put guys in the, you know, fans in the seats, and, you know, 2 guys they'd love to retire as Blackhawks and have statues out there and all that sort of thing. So I don't see that happening. Where I think Stan Bowman, where he's going to be measured these next 5 years is those other contracts. You know, he just paid Seabrook. He's going to make, what, $6.875 for a while now, and Kruger's getting $3 million. And both those contracts are questionable. You know, Seabrook showed a little bit decline last year. Kruger didn't score a goal last season. You know, he was injured, and he has a defensive responsibility. He plays well there, but it's those type of contracts that are, I think, are going to define this team. You know, those guys need to play really well, and they're going to have to hit on these rookies that come in, and because they need to fill the roster with guys that make $700,000-$800,000. And you know, I thought with Saad and Shaw and Teravainen, 3 guys that they had a lot of success with, and, you know, draft picks, and then they have to deal with them. They have to be right about the rest of these young guys for to step in and fill those holes. But I don't blame them for paying Kane and Taves. You know, that was the going rate, and that's what they had to pay them to keep their cornerstones. But it's those secondary contracts that are going to end up defining what the Blackhawks are in the future here.
Scott Powers joins us breaking down the Chicago Blackhawks. And when you have Kane and Taves, and Marion Hossa is still at his age because he skates so well, obviously they're going to have a chance, especially on the back end. Now, Brian Campbell comes back, and he's obviously not the defenseman he was when he left Chicago. Obviously has a much cheaper contract. But do you see him more as a third-pairing guy for this team this season?
I think Campbell will be a second-pairing guy. You know, his minutes were pretty large. It's still last year with Florida, and his possession numbers are still among the league's best defense. And so I think, you know, expectations with him are he doesn't have to be the guy. You have Keith and John Wilson in that top pairing. You know, you decrease his minutes a little bit, give him a little bit less responsibility, and maybe he's still capable of keeping up those possession numbers. And, you know, I think him and Seabrook, they have some experience together. You know, 2 guys who have been around the block. And then you have a third pairing in Kempney and Ben Muzik, where you can shelter and put in more offensive situations. I think those guys can flourish there. But I think, you know, from all signs, you know, Campbell really hasn't hit a wall yet, where he's been pretty steady. And the fact that they don't have to play him as big of a role as Florida did should benefit the Blackhawks with that as well.
Artemi Panarin was a great story last year. I mean, obviously there's a lot of interest here in Edmonton with Connor McDavid and the Calder trophy. He was pretty solid all the way through. I was looking at his game log, and while there was a stretch or two where he couldn't get on the board, he was very good, and especially at the end of the year where you'd think maybe the grind might get a kid down a bit. I know he's not a teenager, but he was strong all the way through. Are there reasonable expectations that he can reproduce what he did last year points-wise?
Yeah, I think so, and I think the one thing that benefited him last year is that he wasn't a kid. You know, he was someone who played in the KHL for a number of years. He's been, you know, he's been around. He's played the amount of games. So, you know, he hit a small wall, and some of it was, I think, he got into his head about all the bonuses and things that he was capable of doing, and at the end of the year he came around and earned all those bonuses, which affected the Blackhawks in the end with what they could do with the cap. But I think the fact that he is, you know, he is seasoned. He wasn't as young as McDavid. And I know there's a lot of debate about the Calder, and, you know, I guess just going by what, you know, the rules were, the league that Panarin fell in within the rookie category. But he's an older, you know, he's an older guy. He's played a lot of pro hockey. I think, you know, from watching, I was at the World Championships and watching a little bit of the World Cup exhibition games, you can see that he's even more comfortable. I think just, you know, he's more assertive, and I think he understands what he can do. And now playing without Kane, too, probably might be good for him in these big tournaments where he comes back, and I think he's even more aggressive and understands what to do. But you'd expect him to take that next step and, you know, kind of score 25 to 30 goals. And realistically, the Blackhawks need that. They need Kane to somewhat be close to what he was last year, and Panarin to take that next step, because the offense isn't there as in the years past, where they've had five or six guys scoring a lot of goals, and now a lot of it's on Kane and Panarin. But I would think that, you know, based on last year and another year of development, and the fact that he is older, that you wouldn't expect really much of a drop-off, because he's been around the block. So I think expectations would be a little bit higher for Panarin this season.
One other veteran they brought in who's played in the league a long time. Do they expect Jordan Tu to replace Adam Shaw? Do you think they'll play him that much?
I don't think
Andrew
so.
I
think he's going to be a fourth-line guy. You know, Quinville even talked in July a little bit after watching the Stanley Cup how he feels his team needs more speed and skill. And I think Jordan Tutu, you know, fits a spot for the Blackhawks where Joe Quinville is very much old school and he likes having that type of player in the lineup. But, you know, Shaw was so versatile. And, you know, there were times where he played on the top line last year with Taves, and I doubt seeing that with Tutu. I think he will play, but I see him more of a, you know, contributing role somewhere down in the lineup.
Scott, we appreciate it. Should be an interesting season in Chicago. One last one on Panarin. You expected heightened expectations. So do you think they will be split up more this season to try to provide more balanced offense in their top two lines?
Yeah, I on paper, it would make a lot of sense. And Quinville, you know, starting in 2012 or 2013, he started splitting up Kane and Taves because it created more balance around the lineup. And as good as that second line was last year with Kane and Nisimov and Panarin, I think it almost makes sense to almost put Taves and Kane back together on one line and let Panarin play with the Nick Schmaltz or Vinny Hinostroza, guys who are pretty offensively skilled. So it wouldn't surprise me if Quinville started messing around and maybe brought Kane and Taves back together and broke up that second line. As good as it was, the Blackhawks lacked, you know, balance in the lineup, and I think splitting up the line might be able to help them create some again.
Scott, we appreciate your time. As always, enjoy the season. We'll talk to you throughout.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Take care.